The Tom Woods Show, episode 618.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, email marketing is a critical, indispensable ingredient in your business. And if you know how to do it right, you can have tremendous success. But if you do it the wrong way, oh, it's a disaster. Fortunately, Daniel Levis, who happens to be a libertarian and is one of the world's great email marketers, is giving away some helpful video and a PDF at tomwoods.com/Daniel. Grab them before he takes them down. Hello, it's Tom Woods here. Welcome to another episode. This one is, I don't know quite what to say about it, but it's going to be very interesting and fun. I should warn you that it might not be entirely suitable for children, given some of the ideas that may be discussed here, so you have been warned. I don't think there'll be any bad language, but there might be some sensitive topics raised, so you might want to put your headphones on for this one. But today I'm talking to Lauren Southern, who is a contributor for TheRebel.media. She's a second-year student studying political science at the University of the Fraser Valley in Canada, and she is no stranger to controversy in a wide variety of areas, and she's been a bit in the news today because of the reaction to some of the things she's been up to, and I thought it'd be fun to have a chat with her. So, Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I love the fact that there are so many great people out there doing so many great things, and I'm not even aware that it's going on. Unfortunately, I am so unaware of the world sometimes, and I look at what you're up to, and I think, it's like Milo Yiannopoulos. How did I not know about this guy? What is the matter with me? What world have I been living in? Well, likewise, how did I not know about Lauren Southern? I am mortified. I am sorry about that. I should know what you're doing, but better late than never. I do know what you're up to, and it's just tremendous. Okay, so I want to start off, first of all, before we even get to your horrifying incident with the left, although, you know, which one?
Exactly.
But let's talk about what you pulled on Twitter. It was your idea, and it actually developed into a thing. I mean, I think you were thinking out loud, we should do this, and then people latched onto it and did it. Tell me about the triggering.
Right. So it was last year, maybe 6-7 months ago, I put up a tweet, and you're right, it was just thinking out loud. I didn't think anything would come of it. I said, let's have a day where we all post offensive content in defense of free speech. Now, what's deemed offensive today is almost anything, but quite frankly, just post, if we all post offensive things, we cannot all be banned from Twitter. We cannot all be banned from Facebook. We cannot all be dragged in front of the Human Rights Commission and charged hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend our free speech. So people actually loved the idea and started sharing it everywhere. They were like, this needs to be a thing. Like, free speech is becoming so rare online. You're getting banned from everything for the mildest milquetoast posts. So I came up with a day, and it was March 9th last Wednesday, between International Women's Day and Osama bin Laden's birthday. So you had apt opportunity to make jokes about both. And it was just a day to be unapologetically offensive, to use our right to free speech. And people loved it. It trended worldwide. I was amazed. Oh, the left were horrified because it was trending in the UK. It was trending in Canada. It was trending in the US for 24 hours. It was unreal. And you had huge names like Ben Shapiro and Milo Yiannopoulos and Steven Crowder partaking in this. And people loved it. People loved defending their free speech.
Now, I have to say, I went through a period where my view was, I mean, I'm as non-leftist as they possibly come, but I got kind of annoyed because a lot of the college student types, like the college Republican types, I know them, I was one, and their view kind of is that being right of center means just being an obnoxious bore and then championing your right to be an obnoxious bore. Now, I also champion your right to be an obnoxious bore, but sometimes it just gets to be too much. I mean, I think a conservative should want to be a gentleman and behave the way a gentleman would behave. A gentleman wouldn't use this sort of language. But, you know, now that I'm watching the left get – it's either I'm getting more sensitive or the left is getting a lot worse. I don't know which one. They're getting so oppressive. They're having such a chilling effect on free speech that I now think – get out there on Twitter or anywhere else and say whatever the heck you want to say. This is ridiculous. We have to fight back against it. And it's thrilling. See, next time you pull something like this, we got to have you on the show in advance of it.
Yes.
So I can get my army ready to go and armed and equipped and ready to do this. So, you know, keep me in mind next time.
Well, that's exactly the issue, is it's no longer just people. If you look at the triggering hashtag, and I think this is what a lot of the regressive left were angry about, is they couldn't find a ton of people just going on there and yelling racist nonsense. They couldn't find people just doing that but they still found everything very offensive. It was just people saying, hi, I'm African-American and I'm a conservative, hashtag the triggering. Like, hi, I believe there are only two biological sexes, hashtag the triggering. I think the nuclear family is a positive thing, hashtag the triggering. And it was just people stating facts that are deemed offensive today on college campuses, because the what is deemed bigoted and what is deemed offensive has changed so much that's why I believe in defending offensive speech and why I think we need to defend even hate speech. Because you look 100 years ago, we had blasphemy laws in place where if you were a Christian and you were saying, I'm not a Christian, you could get in a lot of trouble. And 100 years from now, you're going to find that denying the 700 invented genders on Tumblr will be hate speech. Denying that someone is a pink unicorn running around, that'll be hate speech, right? So you got to protect it all, because you never know what it's going to be tomorrow that will be deemed hate speech or bigoted.
Let me throw something in here about the whole being offended phenomenon. I got into a little bit of a exchange with Glenn Greenwald on Twitter of days ago.
He's a gem.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I like some of the pieces that he's written over the years, but as Justin Raimondo says, unfortunately, that Glenn Greenwald is long gone. He is dead and buried, and we have the new Bernie Sanders Glenn Greenwald. So anyway, so I was saying that, look, if you want to oppose Donald Trump, you don't do it in the Chicago way, because his whole appeal is that he's the guy everybody hates, that the mainstream hates, and he's the guy who is supported by the silent majority. Well, when you have a loud minority screaming at him, that just builds his appeal as the representative of the silent majority. I mean, in other words, you're playing right into his – I was saying the left is a bunch of idiots to act this way, because they're only going to make him stronger. And Glenn Greenwald wrote back and said, it's not just the left who's offended by Trump. So I got this response from a so-called constitutional conservative, and he said, that's right, we constitutional conservatives are also offended by Trump. So I wrote back and I said, no conservative worth his salt uses the sissy word offended.
Yes.
That's like my best tweet of 2016 right there. I mean, come on, people, really.
No, and it really does help him because then you have the rest of the conservative base as well look at these people and they're like, oh, you must be a fake conservative if you're trying to silence people, if you're using the word offended, if you're using the words triggered, right? And you're totally right. This is, when I saw those riots, I instantly tweeted out, this has just made everyone like Donald Trump more.
Yeah.
This
duh.
It's unreal that people cannot see that. Even like I know we're going to talk about this later, but when I had the piss thrown on me, I was laughing after, because I'm like, you just threw this on me and I know we got it on video. We're going to upload it and no one's going to think that you had a good argument by throwing piss on me. No one's going to think you were right.
Yeah. All right. I guess we got to switch, because there ain't no more talking about Donald Trump at this point. Although I just want to, let me just close this section by saying these people are dumb as rocks. I mean, they are the worst strategists in the world. It is ridiculous that they think that's going to help them. All right. So let's talk about this incident that happened. So I guess, were you on a street corner? Paint the picture for me.
It is a very complicated story. We were supposed to have a guy named Augustus Sol Invictus come speak in Vancouver. Now, I was just going there to see what's going on. He's apparently a libertarian running for Senate in California. Very controversial figure, because he has some he's a pagan who has drank goat's blood, and he got all over the news for it, because they're like, this candidate for Senate has drank goat's blood. So people also think he's a fascist. I didn't see too much evidence for it, but either way, I was just out there to see what he had to say. He was actually blocked from coming into the country because he got so many threats and so many people threatening to come and attack him and stop his speaking event in Canada. So he was just blocked from coming into Canada. And these people who had, well, initially they had harassed the Railway Club, which was the place they were, the initial speech was going to be happening, and they shut down the event. So they planned it for another place and they planned to come and protest that. And then he was just barred from the country. So me and a couple other libertarians in the area went out for drinks anyways. And this quote unquote anti-fascist group that got him barred from the country, got him kicked out of the other place, they still showed up to the area that we were having drinks, wearing balaclavas and ready for a fight. And we're just like, we are literally walking down the street and we see this group across the street, all in black, wearing balaclavas with cameras and just staring at us. And we were like, are you kidding me? These people showed up to where we were having drinks. There's not even any speech going on. And apparently none of these people know the definition of libertarian because they thought we were fascist. So we get into an argument with them and we're like, it's not very cool that you guys wouldn't support someone's free speech instead of planning on throwing, and they had said they were going to throw piss at him initially. They were going to throw feces at this guy. They were going to shut him down. We're like, well, instead of attacking this guy and getting him barred from the country, why wouldn't you attack his ideas, hear his ideas first and debate with him? So that's how we got into the debate with these people. The supposed anti-fascist that wanted to shut down free speech.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a very odd...
I think they don't quite know what the word means, maybe.
No.
You think that's a...
That might be an issue. That might be the issue there.
All right. So you in particular, though, became a target for them.
Right. A lot of them know who I am in the area just because of my slut walk antics. If you don't know what my slut walk antics are, I've gone to slut walks before and kind of challenged the girls on why they're there. Why are you walking around in your underwear to stop rape? How does this stop rape?
Oh, my gosh. You know, so, again, this goes to show, again, the life I lead. I didn't even know this thing existed. And, by the way, I was perfectly happy not knowing. So thanks a lot.
I apologize. Yeah, they twerk to end rape. It's very productive.
It's
extremely productive. But
that's insane. Okay.
After I went to this event, I've been dubbed a rape apologist.
Of course.
I'm extremely offensive to these people. And I saw a few of the girls there that were from the slut walk, and they had started a petition against me earlier last year to get me kicked out of the Libertarian Party. They had written just lie fiddle... a letter just filled with lies. Just, it was the worst thing I've ever read in my life. It was saying that I was telling rape victims they deserved to be raped and their rapes didn't happen. And I disproved it all with video evidence, but they had written this and they had sent it to friends of mine. They had sent it to party leaders, family members. It was just the worst thing that could have possibly happened. And I'm so unbelievably glad I had video footage of the event to disprove this letter they had wrote, this slanderous letter they had written about me. And it was the first time I had seen them since that event. And I kind of was like, why would you do that? Why would you write this lie-riddled letter to ruin my life? And that's how I got into this gender politics debate with them, if you watched the video. And they started yelling out, because you're not a feminist, because you're an awful person. And we got debating about whether, I don't know how we got there, but we got debating about whether there were two genders or not. And I said, sorry, biologically, your made-up Tumblr gender of demigirl, your made-up Tumblr gender of unicorn gender, they do not exist. That is in your imagination. There are two sexes, two genders, end of story. And they were just yelling, bigot, bigot, bigot. And then I feel this rush over my face of liquid. And I turn around and this person in like a black hoodie has poured what I initially thought was pop all over me. And I'm just like, what has just happened? And they run over and there's a scrum going on. And these feminists, these self-proclaimed feminists, are laughing at me and saying I deserved it. They are laughing at me, mocking me, yelling, maybe that washed the scum off you. And I'm just sitting there like, unreal. This is an unreal situation. Yeah. And my friend beside me who got him on him as well, he's like, Lauren, you smell like pee. You smell like urine. I think that is urine on you. These people had said they were bringing it with them. So I was like, oh my goodness, this is unreal.
All right. This is, I think, an opportune moment to sit and count up all the times that leftists have had urine thrown on them by non-leftists. Do you want to sit down, grab a piece of paper, and you and I will make a nice long list? Or all the leftist speakers who came to college campuses who were shouted down by bigoted conservatives, let's get a big long piece of legal paper and let's start writing our list. You ready? Okay, I'm done.
I think I fail.
Yeah. See, this is the issue here. And I know that there is a sliver of my audience that this is like fingernails on a chalkboard for them, because some of them come from the left and now they've become libertarians. But on the other hand, there are people who come from the left to become libertarians and say, yeah, you're right. They are that crazy. And that's why I'm so glad to be away from them. I mean, I have plenty of complaints that I make about conservatives, and I am critical of the neoconservatives on this show to a point, almost to a fault. I almost get complaints about it from time to time. But the one thing I can say is, I don't ever fear that if I go to a college campus, a neoconservative is going to interfere with it. I mean, they might ask me a tough question, but that's about it. I have no fear whatsoever that there's going to be antics or immaturity or silliness or violence or screaming or irrationality. I never have any reason to fear that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that freaked me out in this Facebook page where they arranged to come out, it was called Vancouver Against Racism, which was a very interesting title, because our little libertarian circle of friends, they were not all white people. It was just a bunch of us friends. In fact, the girl who got soaked beside me was a small Asian girl who filed a police report. My friend, she ran for the Libertarian Party. And they were posting in the group, the left needs to stop being afraid to use violence to combat ideas they don't like.
Because they've always been so afraid of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I was looking at it because a few people in the group were being like, okay, let's not be violent. It could actually hurt our arguments if we go out there. And I'm like, wow, these people actually have it together. But so many people, the amount of people in the group attacking those people who wanted to come and peacefully protest was unreal. It was unreal. And it's very sad. It's very sad that In today's age, we can't sit down and just have a battle of ideas. I would have invited them in for beers with us to discuss freedom of speech. But
yeah, no
doubt.
They
showed up
in
balaclavas.
All right. I want to share with you my interview secret that I was telling you about before. But first, we have to just pause for a message. Hey, everybody. Daniel Levis is not only a libertarian, but he's also one of the best, most sought after, and most effective email marketers in the world. So if you have something to sell, Daniel will help you to sell it. In fact, I asked him, what can people learn from you they can't just learn by fishing around the internet?
Would you step into the ring with Mike Tyson with just a couple of weeks shadow boxing in front of a mirror? Of course not. Email marketing is a science. Mastery is a 10,000-hour proposition. The good news is I figured out a way for you to hitchhike on my mastery, allowing you to get up and running profitably with email marketing in weeks instead of years. And if you're already doing it, doubling, tripling, quadrupling, or even 10xing your sales. I know that's a bold claim, so come to one of my free email alchemy trainings and I'll prove it to you.
Get an unfair advantage by checking out Daniel's free stuff at tomwoods.com/Daniel. Okay, I want to go back just quickly to the triggering, because you were telling me before we went on that you got a lot of coverage for this in the media, and then you would be, you know, ask questions about it, and then you would ask, well, send me the article when it's all done, and they never would because, of course, it was a hatchet job and they didn't have the guts to send it to you. And I just want you to know, I've been on the receiving end of hatchet jobs before. The website The Daily Beast interviewed me, and I gave them such a top-notch interview. Like, I thought to myself, it's impossible for them to portray me in a negative light after this interview. But it's not impossible. Same thing with Reason Magazine contributor Kathy Young, who interviewed me or sent me some email questions or something back in 2004. And so I answered her questions in a way that there'd be no way for her to just take a few words out of context and hurt me. I worded it so that she couldn't do that, so she didn't quote me at all. She just took – so she was going to smear me. And thankfully, I know somebody on the Reason board who basically told Reason, shut up and leave Woods alone, you jerks, and they have not bothered me since. So it's wonderful to have friends all over the place. But anyway, so here's my way of dealing with it. And some people say if the New York Times calls you, which I've interviewed with them, and Washington Post, if they call you, don't interview with them. I don't agree with that. I think you should do it. But what you do is you tell them you're recording.
Yes.
And if they don't consent to that, then fair enough. It wasn't worth doing. But I will make a whole podcast episode out of my side of the interview the next time they pull that on me. I'll make a podcast episode out of it. And for one, that means, hey, free episode. You know, I'm lazy. That gives me a free episode. But that way it gets my story out there. So that's my secret, is to make, I mean, I'm a podcaster, so it's easy for me, but you could make a nice YouTube of it. You could do all kinds of fun things with it. But anyway, all right, so let's talk about now, you were talking about the Libertarian Party briefly.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me, now maybe, you know, maybe this has all eased up now and you don't want to dwell on the past, but frankly, I'm curious about the sort of the run-in you had with the LP and why that happened.
Right. Well, it is in the past, and luckily it was a hectic month of insanity going through that. But I was kicked out of the party for a little bit after I went to a slut walk and challenged some of the girls, and they wrote that slanderous letter I was talking about earlier. And they sent it to the party and they kicked me out because I was supposedly a bigot and I shouldn't be allowed to be. In fact, some people in the party said, I don't want people in the party who are anti-feminist. I don't want that. That should not be allowed. And the majority of the party did defend me. But unfortunately, the people who were on the board at the time, the people who were president of the party, were quite frankly SJWs. They were, I don't believe for a second that they were true libertarians. They were people that were had come into the party to co-opt it for the purposes of social justice.
No, you're telling me there are people who aren't real libertarians who have all kinds of leftist presuppositions? I refuse to believe that.
Yeah, have you ever heard of the thing called Atheism Plus?
No, I haven't, but you know... you know, I'm just glad. How old are you? Is that rude of me to ask you? I mean, I know you're in college, so you've got to be college age.
I'm a lot younger than people think I am. I'm 20.
Okay, all right. I'm glad you're going through this, and I'm not. I mean, at the time, I thought I was growing up during a crazy time. I was growing up basically during, you know, the Andy Griffith Show compared to this.
Yeah, luckily, I have a good sense of humor, so I can look at it all and laugh, quite frankly. This is in class as well. There's not too many. Education isn't what it used to be, I'm sure.
So Atheism Plus, I'm sure what this is they read Richard Dawkins, but then they actually go back and read the original Thomas Aquinas, and they say, I'm not sure Dawkins really grasped this. Is that what you mean?
Well, okay, so it's Atheism Plus. Well, actually, Richard Dawkins condemns it, I'm pretty sure. Plus being a feminist, plus being pro-Black Lives Matters, plus being... kind of a liberal, basically. So you aren't just allowed to be an atheist anymore. To be a proper atheist, you have to be an atheist plus. You have to be you have to be an environmentalist. You have to be a vegan. You have to be all these different things. Otherwise, you're not being a good atheist. And this just ruined the atheism movement for people. They were like, I don't believe in this. Like, this is, I'm just an atheist. I just want to, like, I don't want to be a feminist as well, right?
Well, but you know, in the same way, sorry to interrupt, but I mean, there is kind of like a libertarianism plus where just believing in non-aggression is not enough. You have to believe in all these fashionable left-wing causes too. And obviously all that does is turn off all the just regular people who might be interested.
Well, that's exactly what happened. And they called it libertarianism 2.0. And I had a chuckle to myself because I was like, this is literally the exact same thing that happened to the atheism movement. They're like, you can't just be a libertarian. You have to be a nice and sweet libertarian. And of course, what they considered nice was not having any real strong positions on anything remotely right wing. And I am a more my own personal values are more conservative as a libertarian. I don't want to do drugs. If you want to do drugs, that is your bloody right. But I personally don't. I personally would rather grow up in a nuclear family kind of thing. I have more personal conservative values, and that was not okay in this libertarianism 2.0. I'm not a feminist, right? And a lot of people really, really didn't like that. And that's so basically I was kicked out of the party, and a lot of people got very angry over this because they were like, and they contacted the leader of the party, Tim Mohn, at the time, and were like, Tim, these people are trying to co-opt the party. These people are not actual libertarians.
And he backed you, didn't he?
Initially he backed the, SJWs in the party because, and I don't blame him because they really had, they were the ones that were putting in, they were the ones who were on the board. They were the ones that were kind of talking to him often and everything. And they had convinced him that it was best for the party. But a month later, he turns around and realizes these people were trying to take over the entire party. Like he had them literally plotting to take over his position to make it a kind of more left-wing libertarian party. And they were trying to kick out more people with different ideas. And after Breitbart wrote a piece on the whole situation, kind of showing the messages between myself and other party members, it was undeniable that the individuals that had kicked me out were not in, it was undeniable that they weren't in support of free speech, that they weren't in support of free thought. And I don't want to get too much into it, but there was a lot that went down after that where these people like they got really bad for the party and eventually had to all leave because they were literally trying to take over the party. It got to a point where it was like there were campaign funds missing kind of thing. It was bad. It was bad.
So how about that? There isn't enough leftism in Canada already. We need to bring some to the Libertarian Party. I mean, aren't we allowed to have our own safe space, you know, safe from leftism in just one part of society?
Well, and you can have left libertarians that if they keep their personal values, as long as they say it's my personal value that I want to be a feminist, I'm not going to force it on other people, right? It's my personal value that I want to not use quote unquote bigoted language.
They can do that. No one has ever said you can't. And even if I think that's a silly thing, if it happens to be, then you and I, you know, we can have an argument about it, a discussion about it. But nobody has to necessarily be forced to adopt the other person's view. I mean, that's how civilized people interact with each other.
The problem is on the regressive left, though, is they get so offended by things that they're like, I cannot be in this space with another person who disagrees with me on this issue. I'm so unbelievably offended and emotional about it that your free speech has to be shut down. Your opinion has to not be allowed. It gets to that point so often, even in the libertarian sphere. Not always, but very often. So it's just these regressive leftists. It's very predictable every time, even if they call themselves libertarians.
You know, Milo, did you hear the story? He gave a talk at a college recently, and there was some story about afterward the kids all needed counseling. Needed to be coddled and everything. And it makes me think, okay, kids, now you have some idea what my college experience was like, because mine was all left-wing Milos 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That was what my college experience was like. I got one person every two semesters who might have said something I agreed with. And my gosh, if I had a heart attack every time that happened, I wouldn't have survived to my 20th birthday.
Well, you know, it's still like that. Like this is what I don't get is these students, the majority of their college university experience, in fact, almost all of it in some cases, they are never going to run into a libertarian or a conservative professor. Never. Unless they're taking economics, they're going to just have people that disagree with them. You'd think they would be excited for someone with a different opinion to come to campus. You'd think they would be excited to have their preconceptions and right.
You would think.
But it's unreal. They're like, no, this is physically, they literally think it physically harms people because they'll say it's harmful. It is destructive to hear different opinions. No, words do not hurt you. They help you. They expand your mind. They challenge you. And that's what university should be. It should be opening minds, not closing them, not shutting down ideas. And it's so sad. It's difficult to be on campus in such a time where ideas are deemed as harmful.
Now tell people how it is that you're conveying your message. I've seen you make YouTubes, and I know you write. Tell me what your outlets are.
Right. I'm on therebel.media most of the time. I make videos there, and I have a show called Standoff there that I just started. I only have one episode out. And I also write a bit for them. I write for Spiked Online in the UK every once in a while. But most of my articles I've written for a few other sites as well. So I'll post them all on my Twitter at Lauren_Southern. And I would be on Facebook, but I'm actually being banned consistently from Facebook. I got a 1-day ban a few weeks ago. Then I got a 3-day ban. Now I've got a week-long ban. And I'll get only about a day in between each ban. And I'm getting banned for milquetoast jokes about feminism from 3 months ago. So either Facebook is going through my feed and just not allowing me on there, or feminists are raiding it. But I used to have like 20,000 followers following my stuff there, but now I can't even use it because I'm just permanently banned.
But haven't you been reading about what's going on Twitter? Maybe that could happen there.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting shadow banned as well from there. It's unreal what is happening. I can't talk anywhere without fear of censorship.
Wow, that's nuts. And, you know, of course, you know, they took now I can't think of the – what's the term for getting the little check mark next to your name?
Oh, verification.
Verification. When they took that away from Milo, some people might think, well, that's not really a big deal. But there are a lot of his fans – have Twitter accounts under his name. And so it is actually important to distinguish who's the real one. And half the time, you know, I get all the notifications on my smartphone. And half the time, you know, I say, oh, Milo retweeted me. And only about 10% of the time is it the real Milo.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Why not? Before you go. Because I know I've seen a video you made about feminism. And a lot of times when I hear people say, I'm not a feminist, I appreciate what they're saying. They're saying I'm not a feminist in the current interpretation of the term. But certainly by 19th century standards, they are feminists. So what exactly is your view?
I simply believe in equal opportunity, and that's no longer what—
But that makes you a feminist, though, by the standards of original feminism. Yeah.
The word, the label has changed. What it was has changed entirely. So people can say, oh, that makes you a feminist believing in equality. But if you call yourself a feminist today, you have to spend 10 hours explaining what you mean, because the majority of the loud voices in the movement, the people who are the leaders of it, the Andrea Dworkins, the feminist frequency, Anita Sarkeesians, Brianna Wu, all these feminists that are the head of the movement, the people that are getting the most funding, have the most followers, they all are just hateful towards men. They all want more rights. They all think women are these special flowers who cannot handle different opinions and need to be protected in these safe spaces and be coddled. And it's just a disgusting view of what feminism or equality should be. As a woman, I don't think I am so weak that I need to be coddled from different opinions online. I don't think I need extra rights. I don't need extra points when I get hired. I don't need to be forcefully hired for a job simply because of my genitalia. It is how they underestimate women today. It's very sad. It's very sad, and it is having a self-fulfilling prophecy effect on young girls. And I cannot identify with a movement that has done that to women.
Well, I want to link to— have you done more than one video on feminism?
I've done one. My Why I Don't Need Feminism video, I did that last year. And then I have three videos going to slut walks, just challenging feminists on their views. And those ones are quite funny if you're in for a laugh, because none of these women have any idea what they're standing for or why they're there or why they're feminists. It's unreal.
All right. Okay. Well, I haven't seen those, but I have seen the other one. So I'm going to link to that at tomwoods.com/618. I'll link to your article archive as well. And I guess we're just going to have to talk again soon, because something tells me that you live an eventful enough life that something will have happened by the time, you know, you're due back on the show.
Yes, so, I'll get in trouble again for you so I can come back.
That is just nuts. I just can't get over. So are you kind of connected in with the whole Milo crowd and stuff now because of your notoriety?
Well, you'll find— – well, actually, one of the slut walks that I went to in Los Angeles, the Amber Rose slut walk, I went with Milo, and we were both kicked out by the police for having the wrong opinions. So that one was an interesting event. Unfortunately, Milo wouldn't let us get arrested because he wants to move to the U.S. So,
oh, I didn't know he wants to move to the U.S. How about
that?
Probably. Okay.
I'm just assuming he wouldn't want to ruin his passport.
Yeah. But I mean, I think he would have a much bigger audience here than in the UK. You know,
it's a much tougher,
yeah, much, much tougher crowd, in the same way you'd have a bigger audience in the US than in Canada.
I worry about Milo, and I do worry about myself as well with the hate speech laws in Canada and the UK. Like I hope Milo moves to the US, because I think he could seriously be in trouble with the hate speech laws they've got here. And here in Canada, you've got comedian Mike Ward on trial with the Human Rights Commission, where he's paid hundreds of thousands, well, it's either 80,000 or 200,000 that he's paid for the right to make a joke, that he's trying to keep himself out of jail for making a joke. And of course, my boss at Rebel Media, Ezra Levant, he's had to fight against the Human Rights Commission here for publishing a comic of Mohammed. And I really worry about myself and others with opinions that are deemed offensive, because we quite frankly don't have free speech here. We could be attacked by the government at any point. So people are very blessed to have their First Amendment in America, and I hope they know that they should defend it. Unfortunately, students don't seem to have gotten that through their heads yet, how valuable and how many people have died for their right to have that free speech, and how many people don't have that.
Well, start signing up for your dual citizenship so you can escape
exactly.
if necessary. All right, Lauren, thanks a lot for your time. All the links for your stuff will be at tomwoods.com/618. And thanks for chatting with me today.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's going to do it for today. I want to say thank you, by the way, to everybody who sends me such nice emails or contacts me through tomwoods.com. to tell me nice things, or they appreciate the show, or this or that thing that I've been doing. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad. And as long as you folks keep listening, I'll keep on making these episodes. So number 619 coming your way tomorrow. See you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.